from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Every now and then, I forget about the stream, the video stream that we have here in the Cairo studios. First of all, let me wave and say hello to everyone that watches the stream. But I forget about you guys. I really do. Like 95%, I just kind of forget about the camera. Well, I was sitting here during the break and I was, you know, combing my beard.
Which you do frequently.
Yeah, I do all the time. And 206 texts in and says, is G looking for ants in his beard? No, 206. I'm not looking for ants. But I just wanted to let you know that was damn funny.
That was funny.
Ursula, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to everybody. Coming up after Heather's newscast at 10:30, we are going to get into a discussion that needs to be had. And this is about separating sports by sex. Does it make sense? I'm not a big fan. It only makes sense to me up to a certain age to have everybody play on the same team.
And I'm warning you now, I'm going into this discussion. This is where I'm going to both sides the topic. I am both sides on this one.
You're going to pull a me.
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm pulling an Ursula
okay.
with this.
888-973-5476, 888-973-CAIRO. What are your thoughts? And I want to share some of your thoughts as well on whether we should have girl sports and boy sports, or should we have everybody play sports? We'll get into that with Rachel coming up at 10:30. But right now,
what's new at 10?
And in case you missed it, President Biden made this declaration during a 60 Minutes interview on Sunday.
The pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it. But the pandemic is over.
He did catch a few people by surprise, but let's go with it. What does the end of the pandemic mean for businesses? Well, for Starbucks, it means the end of their COVID-19 sick policy. As you may recall, during the pandemic, Starbucks has been providing workers up to 2 weeks of catastrophe pay if they test positive or are exposed or need to self-isolate. But beginning October 2nd, Starbucks workers are going to need to use their regular sick pay or vacation time if they've used all of that sick time. And workers are also not going to get 2 hours paid time off to get vaccinated and another 4 hours paid leave if they feel sick afterwards. And in other words, they're going back to pre-pandemic times when it comes to their time off policy, their sick policy.
Read through this. And as someone who is always on the side of the workers, I usually have a very good track record of that. In this case, I'm on the side of Starbucks. The reason why I'm on the side of Starbucks, because here's why. I have been saying that, no doubt about it, unfortunately, in this country, we're still losing 300 to 400 citizens a day from COVID. COVID's still here. President Biden even said that right when he said the pandemic is over. But we do have to start to get back to a little normalcy. So, for an example, let's just say if the person next to you is out with COVID, right? And then somebody says to you, okay, your coworker's out with COVID, but you can't come around for 10 days. We need to be past that. Or let's just say you have a sniffle 2 days before your wedding, and you don't know if you have COVID or not, but you might have COVID, but you might not find out you have COVID until 5 to 6 days later. Should you cancel your wedding because you have that sniffle? What I'm just saying is that it is time to move forward. And so in this case, Ursula, I'm on the side with Starbucks. Starbucks, they're not saying that they don't take COVID serious. They're basically saying, hey, you're going to have to take that sick day in this case.
So the Starbucks Workers United Seattle tweeted this response. They say the lack of workers' voices in food service has always been a public health concern. Once again, during this pandemic, baristas being placed in the position of choosing whether to work while sick or to miss rent. Now, I'm hoping that because when I got COVID recently, there were a few days you just could not work and you wouldn't want me to work. You wouldn't want someone to come into work.
No doubt.
Luckily, I have many, many, many sick days available.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to guess that there would be some workers who are going to have to get no pay. I mean, if they don't have time, sick time available, and they don't have vacation time available, then you just don't get paid. I mean, is essentially what they're saying, right? I mean, is there, Chef, is there any way you would see that they would still get paid? I mean, I think essentially that's what it is. It's like, if you've already used up your sick time, if you've already used up your vacation time, you're just out of luck.
Yeah, I think Starbucks partners get like 1 hour of sick pay for every 30 hours worked. Yeah. So it's about 40 hours a year, which isn't really a ton. I could understand why workers would be upset with this policy, because COVID is something extra, right? So we can all count on maybe getting the flu once every 2 or 3 years. We're going to have a couple instances per year where we need to be out sick, or we need to be out taking care of our kids who are sick. And now, if you know you're probably going to get COVID every single year and you're going to need to be out for a couple days, yeah, I don't want to cut into my vacation time to have to pay for that. That doesn't make sense, but I understand why Starbucks is doing it.
We're all in agreement. Okay. I just want to bring up the argument that what I think it might do in some cases would be it would discourage some people from being honest about having COVID. It's like, well, I'm just going to work sick because I can't afford to be sick.
Again, we do know that still 300 to 400 people are still dying daily.
Yes.
But the death rate and hospitalization rate is dramatically down. So much so, it is better than it was before March of 2020. So I'm on the side with Starbucks on this.
Okay. So I'm going to take it further, though.
What do you got?
So the president says the pandemic is over.
Yes.
There are still federal rules and state rules where vaccines are mandatory for federal employees, I believe, still, but definitely for state employees. Governor Inslee said, for sure, if you want to work for the state, the vaccine is mandatory. When we're saying the pandemic is over, we don't mandate the flu vaccine. So does it still make sense to say, you know, you don't get a vaccine, you can't work here?
When
you're talking about
if we're going to have that discussion, can we at least agree that COVID is way more serious than the flu?
I believe it is.
Okay. So in that case, when you start talking about COVID, and by the way, the only 67% of the United States of America, 67% of us have had at least the vaccine, 2 shots in our arms. A lot of us haven't gotten the booster or the most recent boosters, and I'm not trying to get into that discussion. But I will say, according to the experts, that is still a problem in this country. Not being vaccinated from COVID, it still can be a problem. Like I said, you do what you want to, but it can still be a problem.
Well, 100%. So as you know, and I think on this show, we are all consistent here that we are all advocates for the vaccine.
Today, 4 yeah. o'clock. Pray for your boy.
Oh, I pray for your boy. You just don't like injections. Okay, so I haven't gotten my additional booster. I've got to get it. So yeah. I'm going to make it now that it's available. Mm-hmm. And so I will be getting it as well. And we have made it very clear we support vaccines, you know, and we knew at a time when mandatory vaccination made sense. But I'm saying now, we're saying that the pandemic is over. Why do we still have some of these things in place? Mm-hmm. Is it time to lift all of them? I would say yes.
I don't have enough argument to debate you, right? Like, so anybody that says, okay, well, the president says the pandemic's over. Gee, you're saying that we do need to move past this. So can we start to say that some of these mandates for these officials getting their vaccines, shouldn't that be lifted? And I'm just saying to you, I don't have enough argument to disagree with you on that topic. So I'll agree with you on that, Ursula. No problem.
I think the only thing that I would say is, yeah, go ahead and drop it. But at the same time, don't be paying death benefits to people, federal or state death benefits to people who catch COVID on the job and then say, hey, I got sick in the line of duty and I died. And so the family needs to be paid out because of this on the job injury or illness that I acquired.
And by,
because it's preventable. That is preventable.
Great.
Well, wait. people who are vaccinated can still get it, can and do still get COVID. Wait, so what do you mean?
That okay, so for example, like there was a, I believe, a state trooper that passed away from COVID. He was unvaccinated, I believe, and he was paid. We paid out death benefits for an on-the-job illness. Right, he received on-the-job illness payments. His family did. Now, if you choose to roll the dice and say, I don't want to get the vaccine for whatever reason, then I don't think you should get on-the-job benefits. Your family should, for something that was utterly preventable.
If you get the flu while on the job and you could have had the flu shot, I mean, I would I well,
we don't,
disagree with
pay,
that.
We don't pay benefits to folks if they get the flu at work.
No.
We have been paying benefits for people who get COVID at work. And that's a state responsibility, financial responsibility.
All I know is, Ursula, could you imagine if your co-host sitting next to you right now just told people, like, and me being against getting the vaccine and knowing that I have an appointment at 4 o'clock? Could you imagine that? I have an appointment at 4 o'clock to go get the vaccine. Oh, get the flu shot at the same time. I'm a little nervous today. I'm going to try to switch up both arms to do that. I just wanted to bring that up, but go ahead.
Yeah, so in any case, I would love to hear from you guys. 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. Is it time to just get rid of all of those requirements? Okay, let's switch over to this other story, a big story here in King County. Executive Dow Constantine is proposing millions of dollars worth of proposals that are aimed at improving public safety by using police and some non-traditional, non-law enforcement approaches. So $5 million would go toward making sure every sheriff's deputy has a body camera. Now, if that sounds familiar, it's because we've been talking about this for over a decade. Dow Constantine also wants to spend $21 million for 140 non-police security officers on Metro buses. And then another $2 million would go toward the sheriff's office to add detectives to the major crimes unit and to start a new gun violence unit.
Our communities need and expect and indeed deserve to have genuine and just safety.
Other proposals would pay for programs to keep low-level youth offenders out of jail and to pay for housing and health programs for 80 people who are most frequently cycling in and out of jail for more minor offenses. And then $9 million for community-based programs and interventions to reduce gun violence. And these are all part of the executive's biennial budget. It will still need approval from the Metro King County Council. But again, he's using both traditional law enforcement and then some non-traditional approaches.
I love that there is just a plan. You can disagree and agree, and I would love to. We can debate it and talk about it. But again, Ursula, it's a plan. And one of the things that he says we cannot simply address these challenges with a single function, just by policing, or in this case, just by lock everyone up. He talks about and he framed the crime and public safety issues being complex problems. Ursula, if every single day I came to work and in the morning time, you gave us a plan, and every single time you gave us a plan, Chef and I just knocked it down, called it dumb, this and that. But every day you come with a plan. So at some point you say to us, well, where's your plan? And see, that's the thing. Sometimes everybody wants to badmouth these plans when they have no plan other than the plan that has been tried and for years, which is lock everyone up, war on drugs, massive incarceration. I can continue. Again, you can disagree with Dow Constantine, but I love that he says that these issues are very complex.
Well, everyone says they're complex, and they truly are. So the $21 million for 140 non-police security officers on Metro buses, there's no doubt that crime and safety on Metro buses, or the lack of safety on Metro buses, drug use on Metro buses, that is a big issue, and then that needs to be addressed. With all of these, though, I want to see, like, what's working? Because you keep throwing money, and you know, this is just part of the budget, which is typical. So he's just giving specifics. Why does it take 10 years to get every sheriff's deputy a body camera? And I know that has to be negotiated through the contract, but
why do we have places down south fighting against having body cameras? Why do we still have that happening? Like, could you imagine that? Could you imagine fighting against having a body cam?
I mean, I think ultimately it's not only good for the public, but it's also good for the officers.
Agreed.
I would argue. So the other program, and one of the issues that a lot of people have with Dal Constantine is that he is seemingly this proponent for no youth jail, don't incarcerate kids. I mean, we have had some crimes that there's no way I would say that these kids don't deserve some time behind bars. So I'm not a big supporter of that whole idea. Mm-hmm. I think there absolutely is a place for juvenile detention, and some young offenders absolutely need to spend time in.
I do too.
Juvenile detention.
Yes.
So when we're talking about these community-based programs and interventions to reduce gun violence, I hope that there is some way to tell which of these programs actually work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how often are we checking in with these programs to see what kind of outcomes do they have? Yeah. Because it's like we're just throwing money at a lot of these things, and you need to make sure that they work.
Is Dal Constantine going to probably run for governor? Because when I was reading this article, as soon as I read the headline, I was like, I don't know Dal. Never met Dal a day in my life. But if I had to ask him a question right now, it would be, Dal, you running for governor?
We had him on our show once.
Oh, we did?
We need to get him back on again. Yes.
Maybe I wasn't here.
That could be the case. But yes, it's widely speculated that he and Bob Ferguson and the lands commissioner, Hillary Franz, all are waiting to figure out what Jay Inslee is doing. And apparently there's some rumor that Jay Inslee might go for a fourth term.
Wait, why did you change your voice?
I think we made it clear. I don't think any of us thought that was a good idea. I think that was another show. Okay, still ahead, Rachel Bell's going to join us, and we're going to have that discussion about sports. Should we be separating sports by sex? By gender. We'll have that discussion next. This is the G and Ursula Show.
You can ring my bell.
Time to welcome our friend Rachel Bell, and it's a topic that we normally don't talk about with you, Rachel. Sports.
I've covered a lot of sports.
Is your microphone on?
No.
Okay, there we go. I think I scared you.
I just wanted to talk to myself for a moment.
So when I just remember when our boys played baseball, and I want to say it was like third grade. Up to maybe third or fourth grade, both of them were on teams that had at least one girl playing on the team. And then, you know, as they got older, that you wouldn't see that. And I think that we're going to talk about this article that you read about whether we should be having just all genders playing in the same sports.
Yeah, this article comes from The Atlantic. So there are so many sports that girls aren't welcome into, like football and wrestling and hockey. And in some cases, like you said, there'll be a girl who's on the team. But the argument by scientists and researchers now is saying, why are we separating by gender instead of height, strength, weight? Because the arguments for not having girls and women play on boys and men's teams is that A, they're going to get hurt by the boys and the men, and B, you know, their skill level is different. They're not as strong as boys. And researchers for years have been saying that's not true. There are certain sports, I mean, for existence, like long distance hiking and running, where women are actually stronger than men. But they're arguing that there's not as much a biological difference. And they're saying it's more of a lack of support provided to women athletes to reach their highest potential. So if the argument is that you're worried about keeping girls and women safe, people get hurt playing sports with their same gender every day. That's all that happens in any sport. That's a silly argument. So there's a story in this article about a woman who wanted to play football on the men's team, and it was a team that you didn't have to try out for. Everybody could make it. But boys made it automatically. If a girl wanted to play, she had to have a doctor's physical documenting her medical history, record of her past PE performance, a fitness test with a 1 mile run, sprints, push-ups and curl-ups. She had to provide all of her height and weight and even her sexual maturity level, like how developed she was. And then there was a full panel that went through this and decided. And she said, there are boys on this team who are 100 pounds and 5'4" who didn't have to do any of this. I'm taller than them. I'm faster than them. I'm more skilled and I weigh more. Why did I have to do this? And she decided not to play. So I think there is a lot of unfair things going on.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a really extreme case. And you're
That's
right.
New York
I mean, there's,
State.
Yeah, there was a time when our youngest son, he was, I told you, he was such a great football player, yeah. But then everyone grew and he didn't.
Right.
And I think that, you know, there probably could have been girls who were that much more developed and bigger and heavier than him right. that probably could have played on the team.
No doubt about it. I said I was going to be both sides about this, but I'm going to end up leaning on another side. First, I've always thought that it was very important for girls to be able to just play together because I think sports for women is very important, mm-hmm. very important. And I'm a big proponent for that. And the reason why I've wanted them to be separate is because I was always afraid that maybe this little girl was like, I don't want to play because there's going to be boys out there.
Yeah.
So that's how I've been thinking a lot of times. But now, ultimately, I lean on the side of I want it to be co-ed from the very beginning and stay that way. Do you know how much, number one, the gap will start to close, as number one, when it comes to the athleticism out there? Two, it will help boys and girls be able to communicate more. Now we won't, because I think, hear me out here, the sports side of things leads into corporate America, hence the reason why women are, you ready for this? Are underpaid more than the men because there's this idea in society that women are weaker than men. If you just let it play out and let it continue, you will close the gap even further on those things. The bottom line is there are some men out here that aren't as athletic as women. And guess what? You don't want that to be showing up on you. But maybe let's get away from that stigma if we just let them play together. And I really think it would help society more if we played sports more together to have a better understanding.
Okay, this is so funny that you're arguing in that way because I'm going to argue that I love the idea, but I just don't think it's practical because at some point in time, can you imagine someone playing against someone who is built like DK Metcalf and then and a woman is going to have to go against someone like that? I think it depends on the sport.
How many DK Metcalfs are there?
Well, but there are a lot. It doesn't even have to get to that level. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of athletes. I wouldn't want a girl to go against one of your sons on a football field.
I think
I'm sorry.
Should be a choice. I don't think it should be that they have to always play together, but that there would be separate teams and then co-ed teams and that you could choose, you know? Like,
I love the idea of offering co-ed teams. 100%.
Yeah, and I think from the beginning is a good idea, though, because when you are 4, 5, 6, you're in those little soccer teams, there is no difference. There's
no.
Not like those little boys are stronger. Their bodies look exactly
absolutely.
The same. And if they could be treated the same way, that would be very interesting to see how that affected the self-esteem of people on that team.
Another example, my man, DJ Super Sam, the Seahawks official DJ, I got to give him and his daughter love. His daughter's getting ready to go play at USC, right? She played basketball with boys the entire time. Interesting. Why is she going to USC? Because, again, the gap has closed of what she thinks that she can do. And I just want to say, if we're talking about the experts, and I'm being serious about this, and I know you guys say, gee, you always somehow bring it up, but I have to remind you that the experts used to say that black people weren't good enough to play quarterback in the National Football League, right? Because of their brains and because their ability to think. These were actual scouts, NFL experts and scouts that used to say these things. So I'm going to put a small grain of salt of when people say that women can't do things. No, women can. You just have to allow it to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think that would add to more support for women if they stay longer playing with boys.
I am all in support of women being able to do whatever sport it is that they want. Mm-hmm. But I think physiologically, at some point, it's going to be problematic in certain sports. And then there's going to be liability issues. You brought up that New York case where they had her sign all these things, which I think is ridiculous.
It's a state law in New York that they are trying to get rid of.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. Because I'm guessing it, liability is a big part of it, too. I mean, we are in a society that loves to sue and file lawsuits. And if something were to happen because a girl is on a team where there are people who are, you know, a whole bunch, a lot bigger than her, and then she gets harmed, and then you're talking about, okay, well,
yeah, but what would be the difference of liability between a girl getting harmed and a boy getting brain damage from playing football? It's the same thing. I think that it should just be their choice. You know, yeah. They should be allowed to play that. If they want to put themselves in that situation, then fine. What's the difference of a girl than a 100-pound freshman in high school? I think it is different when you get to the pros and you talk about these guys who are on the Seahawks, who are these big, huge guys. I mean, sure.
Starting in middle school, there gets to be a big difference. I will just say that just as a football mom, I mean, even for my sons, it was like we had to sit out. One of our sons was like, the weight gap.
And that's what they're saying here is separate them by weight.
Yeah.
And height.
If we want better, equity, we want to take advantage when we can. The reason why we have zero NFL head coaches that are women, zero NBA head coaches that are women, you want to know why? Number one, it's never been done. And number two, there are people right now that are going to say, well, women don't know anything, and to which I direct you to the new head coach for the Denver Broncos. You know, the same head coach that had to have a countdown in their own stadium. So there's that.
Well, thanks, appreciate Rachel. I'm just wondering if that had happened, would you? I know. As you can see, G and I don't agree on this. But would that have made you more interested in sports, do you think?
I wasn't a sporty person, so I don't know. But, you know, maybe if when I was a little kid, if it went that way. Yeah. But it's not something for me. But I think that people who have the urge and they want to and they're told no shouldn't be told no.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Yeah.
Good appreciate stuff, you. Rachel Thank Bell. You.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. I did miss out on scenarios yesterday, and if I had to say if there's one thing that had me before I took my nap, which, by the way, it was weird to take a nap during the day yesterday, but scenarios. So we're going to do scenarios next. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Coming up at 11 o'clock, it'll be time for Agree to Disagree, but right now, let's get to scenarios.
Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
By the way, I notice a lot of our topics are centered around weddings. It's common for wedding guests to be treated to a meal and alcoholic beverages at a wedding. I get that. And most of the circles that I run in have open bars. Well, I'm getting married in a few months, and prices for food and catering fees, they're outrageous. And one of the biggest expenses is the open bar portion. I have decided to keep everyone happy by providing an unlimited bar, but we'll be charging each guest a fee. And my family, well, they're furious. They say it's cheap, low rent, embarrassing. I say if there is a problem, they can pay for the open bar. But I came up with a genius idea to make things work. Here's what I want to do. I want to charge guests that are going to be coming. Everyone pays a $35 donation. That donation goes to us. We can use it for the honeymoon fund, the new house fund, or anything. And what happens is this can be paid for the open bar. You get to come and enjoy your open bar. Well, my fiance and I are paying for the entire wedding ourselves with no help from either family. So I think it's fair. I don't think anyone will complain. If they don't like it, they won't come. And that helps control our costs and for even the food. And it'll just be our best friends who really want to be there for us. It'll be more fun. Now, is this unreasonable? I think it solves all of the problems, don't you? 888-973-5476 is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you're up to bat first.
Have you ever been to a wedding where you're told pay any specific amount to attend the wedding and this is going to cover your drinks or food?
No, but I think there should be. I think this whole thing of weddings and it being on the folks getting married to pay for the open bar is outrageous. Here's $35 so me and my lady could come and drink all your alcohol.
Here's another solution.
What you got?
How about you provide the open bar? Mm-hmm. You have the open bar, but you will cover a certain amount, which I see often. Like what you can afford, you will cover. And anyone who wants to buy a drinks that are you know, beyond the soft drink or the wine that you have purchased, That's on them. And they can pay, they, you know, so then you're not asking for people, because there are going to be people at that wedding who don't drink.
Ursula?
Yes.
You just said people that don't drink.
Exactly. That would be me. And I don't mind, you know, throwing in $35 for whatever, but.
Isn't that something? You don't mind?
In my mind, yeah. I would be like, okay, that's weird.
We do need to change some of these traditions.
Yes.
It's getting outrageous, y'all.
I don't think you should go into further debt to have a wedding where people can get as sloshed as possible. And if you have an open bar where you're covering, trust me, people notice that, and then they're going to be drinking away. I have heard people going, oh, open bar, are you kidding me? And they just keep going back to the bar, going back and trying to get as drunk as heck. Yeah, you don't want that. So why don't you just buy what it is that you're, you know, pay for what it is you can afford, and then everyone else will go to the, you know, it'll come out of their own pocket.
But 35 is everything. That's the gift. That's the wedding gift. That's everything. Chef?
That is really tacky.
Oh,
incredibly
my
tacky.
What? Oh, man.
You're asking people, you're asking the non-drinkers to subsidize the unlimited booze consumption of the drinkers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two, you're basically charging people an entrance fee to something that you invited them to. The solution is very simple. Don't have an open bar, period. If you have tons and tons of money, great. Have an open bar. If you can afford to do that, awesome. But to try and say, like, you should have an entrance fee to the wedding because some of my family wants to get really loaded at the open bar, that is the worst possible solution.
And then maybe you'll use some of the leftover money for your honeymoon.
How about this? I have an idea, Ursula. If you want to drink.
So are you saying you like this idea, by the way? Do you like this idea?
Yes.
Okay, you're not going to have another wedding, but.
I hope not. So wait a minute. I just want to say this. So let's solve the problem. For all the Sprite and root beer and all the soda and water drinkers, it's free.
Yep.
If you want alcohol, you got to pay for it.
I've seen that happen, yes.
So we're done. There it is. No more open bars.
Yes. Sure? You should not. There are weddings that I've gone to where, yes, if you are going to get hard alcohol, it's on you.
It's on you. All right, Nick.
This is not fair at all, whether you drink more, less, or not at all. What are we trying to teach people? Things in life are free? Not at all. Not in my watch. At my wedding, I'm making sure people are not having that open bar. It doesn't seem fair to me.
Oh, there you go. So what are you going to do? Yeah, the only one who's still...
Pay-per-view, baby. You know, just go up to the bar and pay for what you want.
There you go. Easy. Right?
Yeah. So
how about you get like the first two or three are free? How about that?
Don't the whole drink tickets.
You don't like that?
I do auctions and I'm part of the whole drink tickets is just so. Now that's tacky to me.
I've seen it get out of hand
before.
And then people
are trading their tickets.
Ursula.
Yeah, they sneak back in. I have this first time here.
Yeah. The drink tickets. All right. Coming up next. My favorite segment. I actually miss Agree to Disagree next, and we're going to be talking about the states with the highest credit card debt. And the question is, credit card debt irresponsible? We do that next. Gina, so.